Now, he says these things to teach us not to be unsettled by the opinions of the majority, even if they label us as frauds, even if they don't recognize us, even if they consider us damned and destined for death, to experience sorrow, to live in poverty, to possess nothing, and to become despondent, even us who are cheerful. This is because the sun isn't clear to the sightless, nor the delight of sanity comprehensible to the insane. Only the faithful are proper judges of these matters, and they aren't pleased or upset by the same things as other people. Take, for example, someone unfamiliar with sports, seeing a boxer with wounds and wearing a crown. They would think the boxer is in pain due to the injuries, failing to understand the joy the crown brings. So those who can see what we endure but fail to comprehend why we endure it, naturally conclude that we suffer for no discernible reward. They witness the struggle and the risks, but not the prizes, the crowns, or the purpose of the competition. Then what were the all things that Paul possessed when he said, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things? They were both temporal and spiritual things, for the man whom towns welcomed as if he were an angel, who was so beloved that they would have gouged out their own eyes to gift to him, Galatians 14:15, the man for whom they would risk their own lives, how could he not have everything that was theirs? Romans 16:4. And if you wish to see his spiritual possessions, you will find him truly wealthy in these aspects as well. For he who was held dear by the King of all to the extent that he shared in unspeakable experiences with the Lord of angels, 2 Cor 12:4. How could he not be wealthier than all men and have everything? If not, demons wouldn't have been so subjected to him, and illnesses and pain wouldn't have fled from him.